Chapter 21. Charlie hated the feel of the dry, red soil creeping into every nook and cranny, but he remained mostly buried for nearly 2 hours in his impromptu hiding place, pressed against the ship's hull. It was uncomfortable and claustrophobic, but he waited until he was absolutely sure the threat had passed. After the first few minutes of discomfort, he tried to slow his breathing like a Zen master, only to realize it was hard to do with a mound of dirt pressing down on top of him. And a Zen master he was not. It was a long wait. Finally, as the yellow sun set below the horizon, he dug himself out and slid free of what had begun to feel uncomfortably akin to a self-made shallow grave. The greenish aliens were nowhere in sight. Charlie pulled the tools and lone tuber from his pocket and left them in the divot against the hull so he could move more quietly and freely, then crept silently around to the front of the ship, dropping to the dirt and belly crawling the last few meters. Carefully and ever so slowly, he peered around the curvature of the wrecked craft where the dirt met the hull. It was a good thing he did, because one of the oddly clothed aliens was looking in that direction. A pair of eyes, hidden at ground level, however, didn't catch his attention. Charlie slid back slowly, then made his way to the rear of the wreck in a crouch, just in case prying eyes were watching from another direction. He dropped down into the trench dug by the craft and quietly scrambled his way up to the other side. The alien ship was still there, silently hovering inches from the ground on what appeared to be a thin cushion of some sort of glowing golden energy, barely visible to the eye. A dozen of the tall alien elf-looking creatures had camped out in a small group beside their craft. Most had shed several layers of their patchwork clothing in the heat. Their underlying outfits were actually quite clean and orderly, the outer garments apparently mere protective gear. Shit, where's Rika? Charlie wondered as he scanned the area. He could hear occasional sounds of human chatter, but the survivors were held somewhere just out of his line of sight. A cry broke the quiet, Omid's voice clear through the dry air.
Leave her alone. Can't you see she is injured?
Omid yelled. With his broken ribs, it must have been incredibly painful.
I'll be okay, Siobhan said, but Charlie could hear the effort in her voice.
Whatever was going on, she was working hard to keep the agony of her broken legs in check. That settled it. The aliens were not warm and fuzzy types, and his crew, his friends, needed help. Charlie slid on his belly, clearing the corner of the ship and slowly inching along the shadowy spot where the ship's hull and the ground met.
If I can just get behind those crates, I'll be able to see what's going on, and hopefully find out where the hell they're holding Rika.
An opening appeared in the hull of the alien ship, and a well-dressed man stepped out onto the red soil. He wore no overcloaks, and his clothing was different than the others. Cleaner, not patchwork, and made of what appeared to be fine fabric. His hair was pulled into a loose ponytail, and his figure was adorned with a variety of jewelry and baubles on his hands and wrists. The others lowered their heads in respect as he passed, surveying the sight.
Okay, I know that look. He's got to be their captain.
Charlie increased his pace while the others were distracted by their leader.
Better.
He breathed a little sigh of relief as he moved behind the crates for a better view, safely blocked from the elf creature's scanning eyes. Their leader pulled a small ring from a pouch on his belt and slid it onto his slender finger. The others seemed to lean in with anticipation as he held out his hand and muttered something guttural. Orange flames leapt to life atop an upturned piece of wreckage.
How did he do that? I didn't see a beam. Must have been outside the visible spectrum,
Charlie mused as he watched the man slip the ring back into the pouch on his belt. The others quickly set to work, laying out meat from some sort of animal and piercing it with long skewers, then positioning them on a hastily arranged rack so the flesh was just above the flames. The smell was amazing, and Charlie's mouth watered involuntarily as the aroma wafted into his nostrils. His attention quickly shifted when Rika, gagged and hands bound with a fine cord, was yanked to her feet from behind the wreckage she'd apparently been sitting against. Even from a distance,
Charlie could see the bruising on her face. She was a tough one, but he couldn't help wonder how much it would take to make her crack. Of course, they were castaways on an alien world, with nothing of value and no strategic intel to conceal. So it was a very real possibility they were beating her for no reason at all. Their rough treatment of the injured crew only served to reinforce that belief. The captain ran his fingers down her cheek, and Charlie could see the hate in her eyes. If she weren't gagged, the offending digits would have likely been bitten clean off, but Rika was at their mercy. And mercy was something the aliens did not appear to have. The captain said something in a sing-song language, nodding toward his captive. Two of his men snapped to attention and roughly manhandled her into the gaping maw of the waiting ship. Charlie didn't know what he was going to do, only that he had to act. His eyes fell on a pile of salvaged equipment. The aliens seemed to have little interest in what he'd managed to recover, and even the bag of weapons had gone unnoticed. Charlie smiled to himself. If he was going to die on a strange world a bazillion miles from home, at least he'd do it in style. He really had no desire for that ending, though. He hoped a significant show of force, and perhaps a hostage or two, would land him the freedom of his crewmates. Darting from cover to cover as best he could, hiding behind wreckage and debris, Charlie did his best to avoid the illumination cast by the strange fire, which, so far as he could tell, wasn't actually burning anything. In any case, it would put him in shadow and hopefully decrease the Elfling's night vision, though he had no idea how good the alien's eyesight was. Omid saw movement at the edge of their camp, locking eyes with Charlie as he crept toward the weapons cache. Wisely, the injured man kept silent. Charlie saw the others as well. Siobhan had been dragged there with the others, dumped in a heap, undoubtedly jostling her broken limbs out of alignment. Sven was there too, lying beside Winnie, the poor man dazed but at least conscious, which was an improvement. With careful hands, Charlie quietly pulled the bag of Jamal's deadly wares from its resting place. He glanced warily at the aliens, but they were preoccupied with their food. "Eat up, you bastards. Just you wait," he quietly said to himself as he slipped behind a twisted piece of hull and began gearing up. It had been a long time since his service days, but it took him only a moment to figure out how to properly load the unfamiliar rifle and chamber around as quietly as possible. It was a very different model than any he'd trained on all those years ago, but undoubtedly just as deadly. After a moment's reflection, he decided to add a pistol to the mix as well, slipping on Jamal's tactical vest and stuffing the pockets with extra magazines. The machine guns and all of their ammo he then stored in a dented cargo container. He could get them later if needed, but he only had two hands, so carrying them would be foolish excess. Of course, he hoped none of that would be necessary. But he was becoming a firm believer in the benefits of having something and not needing it, rather than needing it and not having it. The collapsible baton slid into a nice holster conveniently mounted on the side of the vest, and he stuffed another pocket with several zip-tie cuffs for good measure. Cuffing the aliens wasn't the plan, but he never knew if he'd need to improvise. Charlie took a deep breath and checked his holstered pistol and slung his rifle. "Okay, be bold, shock and awe. They don't know that you don't know what you're doing." Pep talk over, Charlie stood and rolled his shoulders. Then, without further delay, he stepped out into the firelight. "Okay, you green bastards, put your hands in the air." The aliens looked up from their meals calmly, sizing up the strangely clad man who appeared to be threatening them with a strange metal pipe. One even laughed. "I'm serious. You are all in a world of shit, and I'm the goddamn plumber." "What does that even mean, Charlie?" Siobhan said with a pained laugh. "I don't know, but we're taking over." The alien's eyes darted to his side. It was a fraction of a second, but he saw the look and spun. The captain was standing not more than 3 meters away. What looked like a small set of brass knuckles slid over his fingers. "Tell me you did not bring Nux to a gunfight," Charlie laughed, his confidence growing by the second. "You aren't as scary as I thought." The alien held up his suddenly glowing hand and barked a phrase. though Charlie couldn't quite make it out through the electric pain flashing through his body as he was abruptly flung through the air. He slammed roughly into a pile of debris and slumped to the ground, very much unconscious.